and we thank God for this time. And we have come a long way. We have come a long way on the gifts of God. And from last few meetings, I am teaching about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those are the gifts in the New Testament that the Lord has given to the church. So we have covered a lot. We have come a long way. And let's go ahead. We have covered the gift of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge. We saw how the gift of wisdom is different from the gift of the word of knowledge. I will not go into those things. We also saw that the reason why Apostle Paul wrote about those gifts is because he wanted to make a differentiation between the demonic gifts and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I also taught you about how to differentiate whether the person is operating in the gift of the word of wisdom through the Holy Spirit or through a demonic spirit. So we saw those differentiation. And then the third gift that is mentioned in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, it's not a gift, it's the linking of the next gifts. It is the leading point. It is the leading key to the next gifts. Is the leading revelation to the next gifts that come in the Bible. That is faith. So when you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. When you read from verse number 8, it says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit." Now, faith is the leading gift, is the leading key into the next gift, that is the gifts of healing, working of miracles, and prophecy. So the next three gifts depend upon the gift of faith that a believer has. Gifts of healings. I will come to gifts of healings. That is a vast topic. Then the gift of working of miracles and the gift of prophecy. It all depends on faith. So I started off with faith or the gift of faith. Now, what is the gift of faith? Let me start off from there. The foundation to operate in the gift of faith is based on your reception from God and to hold fast to the same and prophesy or declare against what you physically see and witness. Okay? The foundation to operate in the gift of faith is based on your what? Reception from God. If you don't receive from God, you cannot operate in faith, first of all. Faith is not to imagine something good and start to speak about it. That is so-called positive speaking. Even the world does it. Unbelievers do it. That is not faith. Faith, first of all, does not start with imagination. Faith starts with reception. It starts with receiving from God. When you have received from God, that means you have hope in something that is not created by your own imagination. You have received it from someone else and you believe that it's not your responsibility to complete it or fulfill it. It's the person who has given it to you, shown it to you. It's his responsibility to complete it and you trust the person that he will do it for you. That is faith. Are we understanding? So the foundation to operate in faith is based on your reception from God. First, you just don't start believing. First, you receive something. If there is no reception, there is no faith. Do we understand that? Now, that is the problem, especially that has started in the US years back, which is called the Word of Faith movement. And many preachers preach about the Word of Faith. What they do to people is, they don't even tell people about receiving from God, about hearing from God. All they come and tell people is, This is what is going to happen. Just believe it. This is, imagine this, God is good. God is prospering. God is doing this. Just imagine it. Just declare it. Declare it. And I have seen people declaring things from 15 years, but nothing happens. 20 years, 25 years. Some people have declared it and gone to and passed away. But nothing happens because they are declaring something that is created by a man. They did not, first of all, received it from God. Faith is to operate. The gift of faith is based on your reception. It's based on your reception from God. And to hold fast to the same. Now, when you receive from God, then comes the next battle. Whatever God tells you, listen to me. Whatever God tells you on which you have to put your faith and believe and hope in the same. That thing will be completely contrary to your situation, which will be completely opposite to what you are seeing. That will be the challenge. So the things that you see, your physical senses, your intellectual mind, your logic will always tell you, what you have received is not, see what is happening and what you have received is completely contrary to it. How will it happen? Faith is to hold fast to what you have received from God. The second step of faith is to hold fast in what you have received from God and to pray, prophesy, and declare the same against what you see. Hallelujah. Read the men of the Bible. The men of the Bible, the men and women of the Bible were the heroes of faith. Hebrews chapter number 11. When you read Hebrews chapter number 11, Hebrews chapter number 11, first of all, verse number 1 is the definition of faith. And then it starts off with the heroes of faith. Abraham by faith. Sarah by faith. Moses by faith. Jacob by faith. Those are the heroes of faith. So if you don't have faith, if you don't have the gift of faith, you cannot walk with God. If you don't have faith, you cannot please God. You need to have faith. You need to believe in the unseen. Okay, hallelujah. So let me quickly, I have started off with faith, on faith, on the gift of faith in the last meeting. Let me take you to 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Verse number 41. 1 Kings 18, verse number 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. What happened to Elijah? Elijah received something. He received a sound from God, from the realms of heaven, and the sound was of abundance of rain. But when he received the sound, was there rain? No, there was no rain. Was the weather forecast depicting there was rain? No, there was no depiction or no forecast or no clouds in the sky. No rain. But God spoke to him something that did not exist in the physical. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So first, what happened? He received something from God. He received the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees to do what? To pray. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is what? Nothing. There is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. So again and again he was sending the servant. He saw nothing in the sky. But Elijah prayed. The physical realities that surround you will challenge your faith, beloved. Will challenge your faith. But you have to keep trusting and you have to see in the spirit. Believe in the unseen. Look beyond and believe. That is how faith will operate, I'm telling you. If you don't have the appetite to reject the physical and to accept the supernatural, you cannot operate in faith. Okay? So it was Put yourself and imagine if God told you something and something you are praying again, never happened. You are praying again and again, never happened. But you have to hold on. The unseen should be more real to you than the seen realities. Only then a believer is able to operate in faith. Do we understand that? So the gift of faith is based on many things. The gift of faith is based on your relationship with God, how accurately you hear from God, how accurately you can see the things of God. The gift of faith is based on your capacity. How longer can you stand on the word of God? How longer can you be rooted in the word of God? Hallelujah. The Bible says he shall be like a tree, what? Planted by the side of the waters. I am planted. You are planted. To be planted is the most difficult thing in the world today. It's to stay in the same place and not deviate and waver from that place. Very difficult. To be planted is the most difficult thing to do in the world today. Is to stay in the same place. Imagine how long does a seed stay in the same soil, in the same place, for many years. 1 year passed by, 2 years passed by, 3 years passed by. That is faith. The things that you have received from God, do you have the capacity to stay in the same vision, even though nothing is happening, and to work towards it? And to work and walk in it, even though nothing is happening, but over a period of time, you will see a huge tree has grown up and you will see fruits have started to appear on that tree. And if you do, the significance of you operating in faith, the significance of you operating in faith is when after many years, you start to see the fruits, those fruits will remain. I'm telling you, those fruits will remain. Because no one can easily pluck you out of the ground. Because of you staying so many years, standing on that promise, standing on the word. Now, what has happened to you is you have taken deep roots under the ground. So you cannot be easily plucked out. Hallelujah. Things that are produced by your faith in God will stay. What did Jesus say? He said that you did not choose him, but he chose you and appointed you that you may bear fruit, and what? Your fruit shall remain. Your fruit shall remain. There are many Christians who do not produce through faith, who do not function through faith. Fruits come, but their fruit do not remain. Their fruit do not remain. The fruit appears for a time, and then again the tree is dry. The fruit is spoiled. So God wants your fruit to remain. So Elijah, what he did, even though the clouds did not appear in the sky, Elijah was praying. Elijah was praying because he trusted in what he received from God. He had faith in that. And then a man's hand, as small as a man's hand, came in the clear skies and it started to rain. So that is the operation of faith. That is the definition to operate in the gift of faith. The foundation to operate in the gift of faith is based on your reception from God, and to hold fast to the same and prophesy and declare it against what you see physically, what you see and witness physically. Okay, the next thing about faith is what I told you. Faith is related and required for the gift of healing, working of miracles, and prophecy. Okay, so let's see. Faith is required for this thing. So when we go in the gift of healings and the gift of working of miracles, I will show you how faith is required. Okay, some of the scriptures I want us to go is Matthew chapter number 14. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 14. And this is a working of miracle that I am going to see. We are going to read about Matthew's chapter number 14, verse number 15. Verse number 15. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, very important, verse number 16. Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." So that brings me to the realization that Jesus wants me to operate in the gift of faith, leading to the gift of miracle. Jesus did not say, okay, you know what? I'm going to operate in faith because I am going to I see what you don't see. So he did not do it first. First of all, he tried to tell the disciples, you give them some food to eat. Why don't you give them some food to eat? What did the disciples say? Verse number 17. And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. So they were seeing what they have. They did not had that level of faith to understand that what God can do. That if people have come to listen to God, God will not let them go empty stomach. God is going to fill them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God will never let them go empty stomach. It's when people come to me, it's not my ability. I know my Father is going to fill them. I know my Father is going to fill them, is going to satisfy them. That is faith. Where I don't see what I have. Oh, I have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Oh, I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't look at that. I know my Father has the ability to fill them all, to satisfy them all. So Jesus was trying to tell that to the disciples. Why don't you feed them? But the disciples are like, oh, we don't have much. We have 5 loaves, 2 fishes. When you see the parallel verses in other gospel, they also say, we just have this much money to, we don't have much money to buy food, to go somewhere and to buy food. So that is how we look at. When God tells us, go and feed the nation, we say, oh God, you know what? I don't have so much funds to do ministry. Oh God, I don't have so much this thing. I don't have contacts. When God has told you, step in and tell God, you have told it. I know you will provide it. That is faith. Are we understanding? When you received an instruction from God, when you received an assignment from God, though you look small in the physical, though you look that you don't have anything, but because God has told it to you, you step into that by faith. What you have received, you trust that. Hallelujah. That is faith. So when Jesus saw that they are saying, okay, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Jesus said, bring them here to me. Now Jesus, through faith, he operates in the gift of miracles. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Read the scriptures carefully. I don't have time because we have to cover other gifts. But Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, gave thanks, and the same loaves, he gave it to the disciples. When they started to distribute, it started to multiply. That is faith. That is faith. Hallelujah. Do we see that? So that is how faith operates. The gift of faith. You see how the gift of faith led to the working of miracles? If you don't have faith, you cannot operate in the gift of miracles. If you don't have faith, you cannot even operate. You can operate in the gift of healing to an extent, but not in the full dimension of the gifts of healings. Because even for the gifts of healing, faith is required. Acts chapter number 3, when you read that, remember the leper who sat begging at the beautiful gate. When he was healed, Peter said he was healed by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. So the gift of faith is the gift, is the virtue that leads into the gift of healing, working of miracles, and also prophecy. We'll come to that afterwards. Okay, now the gift of faith, apart from healings, apart from miracles, the gift of faith is also required in something else. The gift of faith is needed by every believer to journey with God. Everyone say, I need the gift of faith to journey with God. Everyone say that, I need the gift.
Gift of faith to journey with God.
Yes. Yes, you need the gift of faith to journey with God. Every believer needs to have the gift of faith. Maybe it will be in different measures as per the grace given to you, but every believer needs to have the gift of faith. Okay? Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's start off from verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is what I have been telling you about. It's something that you don't see physically. Evidence of things that are not seen. That is very much required in a Christian walk. If you want to journey with God, you have to see the unseen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. The blood of Abel it talks about. Okay, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned, again, things he received from God that he needs to build an ark. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen. I told you, whatever God will tell you, you will not witness it in the news that you see on the TV. You will not witness it in front of you. Whatever God tells you will be a mystery that you need to put your faith in. And continue to hold on to it. Okay, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to what? According to faith. So do we see that? I can continue. By faith Abraham obeyed. So these people, these patriarchs, the servants of God, who journeyed with God and completed their journey. How did they journey? It was by faith. It was by faith. If they were supposed to trust the physical realities and live, they would not have been able to walk with God. But they trusted the unseen. They trusted the things that the world which was not trusting in. Hallelujah. I imagine Noah going to the people of the world and telling them, you know what, God is going to destroy the world with a flood. You better. You better believe that God is going to destroy the world with flood. Hold on. Okay. God is going to destroy the world with a flood. And he going to people and telling them, but the news of the world does not believe that. The news that the world shows does not shows anything, any sort of it. So what God will speak to you will be completely contrary to the people, to the convictions, to the ideologies of people around you. But you still have to believe. Maybe no one will stand with you for what you believe, but you still have to believe and walk in it. That is faith. You need to have faith to journey with God. The gift of faith is very much required to journey with God. 2 Corinthians, another scripture. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. Verse number 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That is faith. Apostle Paul is saying, I'm not looking at the things that are seen. I'm looking at the things that what? Are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. And those realities are the one that you need to bring into existence by your faith and by my faith. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? Okay. So let's go and spot out. You might ask me, so what is the difference between faith in the demonic kingdom and faith in God's kingdom? Now listen to me very carefully. Is there faith in demonic kingdom? I would say yes. But their faith is questionable. Because their faith is not on the one and true living God. Their faith is not on the words of the one and true living God. Because only the word of God is true. And everything is false. Do you believe that? My word, your word is false. It will not come to pass. Only his word stands true. Okay, so when we put our faith on this word, our faith will stand. But how to differentiate? What is the difference between the faith in the demonic kingdom and the faith in God's kingdom? Now, even people have faith in the demonic kingdom, and even their faith may produce something like healing. Even their faith may produce something like miracles. Okay, even their faith may produce, but what is the difference? What is the difference? First of all, let me tell you, faith, listen to me now. Faith in the demonic kingdom is work-based, ritual-based, and idol-based. What? Faith in the demonic kingdom is work-based, ritual-based. An idol based, I-D-O-L, idol, that one. Work based, ritual based, and idol based. Listen to me. Work based. Let's say, people believe, oh, okay, if I go to that pilgrimage to visit that God, if I go up to the mountain, if I walk to that place without my sandals, that God will do that for this for me. So their faith is work-based. It's based on something that they can do for a deity. Something that they can do for a God. That is work-based. Do we understand that? Okay. Let me show you the difference between faith in God's kingdom and the demonic kingdom. What did I say? Their faith, the demonic kingdom's faith, is work-based, ritual-based, idol-based. Do you know the number of people that are ready to spend money and travel to a pilgrimage spot to get what they want. They are ready to risk their life and climb that mountain because they want to go in a certain temple to offer some sacrifices to a demonic deity. Why? Because they have faith that if they fulfill that work, reach there, offer the sacrifices, they have faith that they will get what they want. It is work-based. But our God, we don't have to do anything to get something from God. We have to put our faith in what Jesus has already done for us and believe his words and not our works. Do you understand that? Believe his words and not our works. You will see the number of people are ready to spend so much. Now, that kind of faith has also crept in. The demonic faith has also crept in to the kingdom of God. To the kingdom of God. One of the ladies I was ministering to, she was 80% Catholic and 20% believer. 80% Catholic, 20% believer. I was ministering to that family, ministering to that lady. So while I was ministering, I had to go again and again visit them because so many demons. And every time I went, minister deliverance, vomit out, and then tell them the truth, tell them they had idols, they had altars, and all those stuff. Tell them. So after a point of time, because I was busy in ministry, I did not contact them. So this lady saw this man on the TV telling the names of people, telling the phone numbers of people, telling people their addresses, telling people everyone. And then this man on the TV pointed out on the camera. He said, yes, I'm speaking to you. If you want to have your breakthrough, come here where I am in South Africa. And when you come and touch my anointing, you will get what you want. So the lady who was hesitant to give even few offerings to the ministry, she said, that man can bring breakthrough to my life. So even if I have to spend thousands of dollars and reach South Africa and meet that man, I will go to that man. I am ready to make this pilgrimage. I am ready to go there and give him that desired offering so that I can get my breakthrough. Do you think it is God? It is faith based on some works. What does the Bible say? John chapter number 4 verse 24. John chapter number 4 verse 24, and even before when you read that, Jesus said that there is coming the time where people will not worship God either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. But God is looking for true worshipers who will what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. So I don't have to visit a place. I don't have to do a pilgrimage and do something, some ritual at that place to get what I want. Because my God is where I will seek him with a true heart, where I can create an atmosphere of a secret place. I can find my God. I can meet with my God. I don't have to do some workings. I don't have to walk without sandals or shoes and show that I want something from you, God. Do you understand that? Faith in the demonic kingdom is work-based. I will do this, I will go there, I will do this, perform this, then I will be able to get what I want. Work-based. But I want to tell you, Jesus has already paid the price for you. He does not want you to work your own salvation. He wants you to have faith, and by grace you are saved. That does not mean you will do whatever you want. He wants you to trust on his word, on his instructions, and not something that man has created and you have created, that you think that if I do this, I will get this. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Work-based. Second is ritual-based. 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 Everyone say work-based, ritual-based, and idol based. Everyone say those three things: work based, ritual based,
idol based.
Yes. Hallelujah. Ritual based. Secondly, is ritual based. What is ritual based? People trust, people who have faith in spiritists and mediums. All right. So, are you understanding what I'm saying? Ritual based. Ritual based. Ritual based is faith that is based, people have their faith on spiritists, mediums or objects that are used to do rituals, to receive from demons, to receive from familiar spirits, to receive from Christians. I'm telling you, I have seen Christians who are wearing rings of certain stones, you know, blue stone, whatever, they wear certain stones. Why you are no, this prophet has told me to wear this ring, and if I wear this ring, I will do well in my business. That is not God. Your faith is based on a ritual object. Do we understand that? All those things, oil, water, soaps, some Christian ministries are the house of merchandise, where they sell so many things. They sell oil, they sell soap, and you have to pay a price, obviously. They sell handkerchiefs. And they say, if you keep this handkerchief under your pillow, demons will not come near you. If before you sleep, you just make a circle through this oil, you will not get bad dreams. And to the point, I am telling you, I have seen people, they say, okay, I am giving you this Bible, the Holy Bible. And this Bible you have to keep near you. But they have done that Bible. Is to for you to read and meditate on God's word. Bible is not for you to keep with you as a ritual object. When you travel, I see an accident that will happen. So you take this Bible and keep it with you. Keeping the Bible will not save you from the devil. But when the Bible becomes your life, the words of the Bible, that will save you from the devil. So these are we understanding that? Faith on rituals. Faith on objects that are ritual objects, witchcraft objects. The third thing, idol-based faith. People who have faith in worshipping idols. People who have faith in worshipping idols. Israel had that problem. Israel had this in them. They did not want to worship an unseen God. They did not want to believe in an unseen God. They wanted something that they could see. That's why they instigated Aaron to build a golden calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. But the real God stepped into the situation and destroyed the false God. So when you have faith in idols and you ask from idols, believers are asking from idols, oh, you know what, brother, I have a photo of Jesus on my wall, and every day when I get up, I just pray to that Jesus. That Jesus has no eyes, no ears to hear you. Whom you are praying to? Dumb idols, powerless idols. You are taking the glory of God and giving it to idols. Do we understand that? Faith in idols. Let me show you some scriptures. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Let's go there. Hallelujah. Second Kings, chapter number 5, and verse number, Second Kings, chapter number 5, verse number, okay, let's start from verse number 15. Second Kings 5, verse 15, and he returned to the man of God and all his aides and came and stood before him, and he said, Indeed now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. This is Naaman. you know, who had leprosy. He had to come to Elisha, and you know what happened? He got healed. So he is confessing there is no God like the God of Israel. And he is trying to give some gifts to Elisha. Verse number 16. But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please listen to this. Please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. This man is a proud officer of the proud commander of the Syrian army, Naaman. And this man is an idol worshiper. But listen to me, he had to acknowledge that none of his gods, neither even the god Rimmon, to whom he sacrifices and bows down, could heal him of his leprosy. But only the Lord Jehovah of Israel could heal him. So those who have faith in idols, those are lifeless idols that cannot hear them. But our faith is in a living God and is not in an idol. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. So that is what, how you can differentiate the gift of faith in God's kingdom and in the demonic kingdom. In the demonic kingdom, faith is always work-based, ritual-based, and idol-based. Another scripture. I want to show you that idols could not help the people. The other gods of other nations could not help the people in the Bible, because those gods are not true gods. Those demons are betraying demons. They have limited power, but our God has unlimited power. He can do the impossible. 2 Kings chapter number 19. Second Kings chapter number 19, verse number 37. Now it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the temple of Nisroch his god. Who is this? Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, who just threatened King Hezekiah and Judah that I am going to take over, I am going to capture you. You have to listen to me. I am the most powerful king. This is the king. What he was doing, now it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the temple of Nisroch his god, that his sons Adrammelech and Sherezer struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Esharaddon his son reigned in his place. He was worshipping his god, his idol. And what happened? He was killed because God prophesied, God told through his servant that he is going to be killed and slain by his own sword. Hallelujah. Amen. Believers, listen to me. Many believers don't believe that the power of their Jesus is greater than that of idols. They don't believe that, I'm telling you. They are so afraid. You know, read your Bible, read the Old Testament. When Israel went into the promised land, one of the things that God reminded them again and again is, do not fear their gods. Do not be afraid of their gods. Hallelujah. Do you believe that their faith can accomplish nothing because their faith is in a dumb idol? But your faith is in the living God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
People here are... Hallelujah. Let it be. 1 Samuel, amen. Chapter number 5. 1 Samuel, chapter number 5. Verse number 1 to 5. 1 Samuel chapter number 5, verse number 1 to 5. Then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in its place again. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of its hand were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left on of it. Hallelujah. You see, hallelujah. Idolatry cannot withstand the presence of our God. Idols cannot withstand the presence of our God. So, those who have faith in idols, those who have faith in rituals, those who have faith in works, their faith is powerless. Their faith cannot accomplish anything because they are trusting something that is going to betray them, that is going to... I know so many people because we live in India. So we come across people who have faith in rituals, who have faith in the works, who have faith in idols. And I have, they don't believe in Jesus, but they believe in those things. And I have witnessed almost 100% of those people telling me, we are doing those rituals, we are going to that temple, but nothing is happening in our lives. You know, do you know that? People are frustrated because they are not getting answers. People are frustrated because they are not getting breakthroughs. Because why? Their faith is on a ritual, their faith is on works, their faith is in idols. Hallelujah. Another example I want to show you, where the faith of people, where the faith of the people of that city is in a ritual or is in a familiar spirit. Okay? Is in a ritual or in a familiar spirit. Acts chapter number 16. Turn with me. Turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter number 16. And let's read from verse number 18. Acts 16, verse number 18. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit, underline hope of profit, where they were getting money from? From a medium, from a girl who was possessed by a certain spirit. Okay, that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up. Okay, let's skip all those things. So their hope for profit was on the spirits, the demons of Diana, the demons of divination that used to operate through that girl. Their hope was profit was on those things, on spirits, on idols, on mediums, on rituals. So when Paul casted out that spirit, that profit was gone. Their money-making business was gone. When Paul preached the gospel there and people started to throw away the idols, people did not buy the idols of the artisans, so their business was gone. When you trust an idol, when you trust a spirit, when you trust a ritual, that is what will happen to you. Your faith will dwindle because you don't know tomorrow they will forsake you. Tomorrow they can be casted out. Hallelujah. But the word of God will remain. No one can cast out the word of God. No one can cancel out the word of God. Do we see that? So that is how the faith in the demonic kingdom is differentiated from the faith in God's kingdom. Okay, now I want to go on a very, very important topic. That is the gifts of healings. the gifts of healings. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse number 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Now, that is gifts of healings. When Apostle Paul writes about healing, he does not write in singular, he is writing in plural. Gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. Everyone say gifts of healings, even as we get into that. Gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. Yes, that is plural. Multiple gifts and multiple categories of healings. Why he is writing gifts of healings? Let me tell you. We see that when Apostle Paul writes about the gifts of healings, he uses the plural term for the gifts of healings, because there are different types of healings, diverse ways to heal, and different categories of ministry under which healing is ministered. There are different types of healing, diverse ways to heal, and different categories of ministry under which healing is ministered. Now, before going into the gifts of healings, people of God need to realize the classification of three words, that is sickness, infirmity, and diseases. Okay? You might have witnessed people living in the US have the vast majority of healing ministers who have ministered to the nation of the US from many years. And the gospel and the ministry of healing, the doctrine that they preached, you might have heard that it's not the will of God for any believer to be sick. If you are sick, there is a demon in you. The will of God is for everyone to be healed, for everyone to be in health. When that doctrine is brought to the body of Christ, and when the body of Christ believes in that doctrine, they are left confused, because sometimes I get sick. Do I have a demon? I am not in God's will. Sometimes I have a headache. Sometimes I have a sore throat. Sometimes I have pain. Do I have a demon? So that has not answered many of the people's question. You know, I went to a conference, and that conference was for servants of God, pastors. And the people who came in that conference, to minister in that conference, were top healing evangelists. Top healing evangelists. International evangelists who would minister on international platforms. And in that meeting, there was this pastor who was crippled. Okay? And in spite of the top healing evangelists who were there, he never got healed. And then they did not even had an answer. No, have the faith. They did not had an answer. You know why? Because that doctrine was not clear about the gifts of healings. I want to teach you tonight about the gifts of healings. I want to start off. Maybe I will not be able to complete, but the gifts of healings. You might have answers after this teaching to why some people don't get healed, to why some people stay in certain kind of infirmity. You might have answer, direct answer from the scripture, from the word of God, after you have listened to this teaching. But before I get into that teaching, one of the most important thing for you to realize is the meaning of three words: sickness, infirmity, and disease. Everyone remove your mute and say sickness, infirmity, and disease.
Sickness, infirmity, and disease.
These are three different categories to which healing can be ministered. And these three categories are three different areas of, of bodily, physical limitation. Sickness, infirmity, and disease. Let me first define infirmity. Now, Let me give you a disclaimer. I am not a doctor. I am not into the science field. The definitions, I am not even gone to the dictionary or went to Google. The definitions I'm going to give you are just from the Holy Spirit. After prayer, I thought of writing those definitions. I wrote those definitions. And then as per which I believe the people of God will have a clear and simple understanding about these three words. So first, I want to define infirmity. Infirmity is a prolonged state of ailment. Infirmity is a prolonged state of ailment, weakness, frailty, or bodily limitation that people live with all their life. Infirmity is what? It's a prolonged state of ailment, weakness, or frailty, or a bodily limitation that is always there. People live with that all their life. Example, leprosy. Leprosy is not a sickness. It's not a disease. It's an infirmity. If there is leprosy, there can be evidence of the spirit of infirmity. Okay? Leprosy, blindness is an infirmity. Blood flow problem. Remember the woman who had the blood flow from 12 years? That was what? That was not a sickness. That is a prolonged state of a certain weakness or a bodily limitation or an ailment. That is infirmity. Okay? Second, sickness. Sickness is a temporary ailment that needs to be cured. Sickness is a temporary ailment that needs to be cured and needs recovery through rest, medication, etc. So sickness is different from infirmity. It's a temporary, like you got a headache, you have fever. Those are the examples. You have diarrhea, you have stomachache. Those are sickness. Okay? But Jesus ministered to every category. He healed infirmities. He also healed sicknesses. Okay? Do we understand infirmity, sickness? Third, disease. Disease is a specific condition defined by symptoms. Disease is a specific condition. Specific condition defined by symptoms, creating minor to major impacts on your health and body that needs treatment. Like cancer is a disease. Okay? HIV, that's a disease. It's a specific condition defined by a symptom, creating minor to major impacts on your health and body that needs what? That needs treatment. Are we clear on infirmity, sickness, and disease? Okay, that was the basic definition I wanted to give you before I get into the gifts of healings. Okay, the next.
Sorry, can you repeat the last one? Last
disease.
One. Disease.
Disease is a specific condition defined by symptoms. Defined by symptoms, creating minor to major impacts.
Creating minor to major impact.
On your health and body that needs treatment. So if you got a disease, the impact can be minor, or sometimes the impact can be major, like life-threatening impact, like cancer. Like some people live with HIV, they don't die. They have a minor impact. So that is creating a minor to that they have a disease. So that is the difference between infirmity, sickness, and disease. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's get into the gifts of healings. To understand the gifts of healings, I want to give you the category, two categories. First category is the infirmity, sickness, and diseases to which the gifts of healing can be ministered to. That means The gift of healing can work and negate or heal that person of the sickness, disease, and infirmity. That is the first category. Also, there comes a second category where the gifts of healings cannot be ministered. Okay? Two categories. People of God, before we get into this, can I have an amen from you? Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Okay, listen to me. Healing crusades are controversial. I have been watching crusades. I like to watch crusades and everything, you know, people getting healed. But I'm telling you, healing crusades have been controversial, because healing crusades are more than to expose people to the reality of the healing ministry. They carry out the crusade in such a way to attract crowds so that everyone might come and the stadium might be filled. So the doctrine is a little bit twisted, so that everyone will believe that they can get healed. But I'm telling you, everyone should not believe that they can get healed after this teaching. To every sickness, infirmity, and disease, the gifts of healing cannot be ministered. So I have made two categories. And under each category, there are 2 points through which I want to teach you. There are some sicknesses, infirmities, and diseases to which the gifts of healing can be ministered, and those people will get healed by the power of God, by the gift of healing. And there are some categories to which the gifts of healing cannot be ministered, does not apply in those cases. So let me first come under the category where the gifts of healing can be ministered. The first point under this category is the infirmity and sicknesses. Write it down. The infirmity and sicknesses and diseases that can be healed by the gift of healing, that can be healed by the gift of healing, are the ones that are caused by the oppressive force of the devil. The sicknesses, infirmity, and diseases that can be healed by the gift of healing that are caused by what? By the oppressive force of the devil, with the intention to torment, captivate, and limit a person from knowing God and fulfilling God's will. The infirmity and sicknesses that can be healed by the gift of healing are the ones that are caused by the oppressive force of the devil, with the intention to torment, captivate, and limit a person from knowing God and fulfilling God's will. There are people who are sick. There are people who have infirmity, which is from the devil. It's the oppression of the devil upon their life, because of which day and night those poor people are in torment. And those poor people are in a prison of multiple hospital visits, because of which they are not able to know God. They are not able to fulfill what God has called them to do. They are not able to know the purposes of God. That is a demonic sickness and infirmity caused by the oppressive force of the enemy. And the gift of healing can be ministered to such a person, and God will heal that person. Do we understand that? Okay? Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, hallelujah.
There is infirmity nowadays that most of the people are getting. That is called diabetes. Now, there can be categories, but mostly diabetes is not by the oppressive force of the devil. It's by the gluttony that a person has. Is an irregular eating habit. Is non-maintenance of your body, of your system, of your stomach, because of which a person has diabetes. And you go and pray for such a person, because it is not by an oppressive force of the enemy, but because of it is caused because of bad eating habits and irregular sleep, stress, multiple reasons. Scientifically, the diabetes will not vanish away. For the diabetes to vanish away, the person needs to go on a diet and on an exercise. Do we understand that? So I will come to that when I talk about the infirmities which cannot be ministered by the gift of healing. Okay, So these things will not be taught to you in the crusade, in the healing crusade. In the healing crusade, the healing minister will say, everyone will be healed, whatever you have. It's God's will for you to be healed. And so many people believe that, oh, I can get healed, it's God's will to be healed. They generate faith in people. But many people don't understand that they are having something that cannot be ministered. Okay, so this is what can be ministered. The infirmity that is caused by the oppressive force of the enemy, and the person is tormented. The person is limited, and he's not the devil through the sickness, through the infirmity, not allowing the person to know God, not allowing the person to come closer to God, to hear God's voice. That person can be ministered with the gift of healing. Acts chapter number 10, verse number 38. Let's go to Acts chapter number 10, verse number 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing and healing all. Healing what? All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So he was healing everyone. He was healing those sicknesses and infirmities which were caused by what? By the oppressive force of the devil. Hallelujah. Do we see that?
Can you repeat oppressed?
Acts chapter number 10, verse number 38. Acts chapter number 10, verse number 38. It says, yes, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So he was healing every sickness, disease, infirmity that was caused by the oppressive force of the devil. Do we see that? Okay, let's come to the second category where healing can be ministered. Okay, the second category is healing that God has ordained to happen at a specific time to bring glory to God and spark the start to a revival and God's purposes. Now, some of the healings God has ordained, for a specific time. For a specific time in the person's life, through a specific person, through a specific ministry, through which God's glory, God's name will be glorified and his purposes, a revival will start. Okay, let me take you to John chapter number 9, verse number 1. John chapter number 9, verse number 1. Now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the disciples are asking him, what is the cause of his sickness? Which sin has made him blind? What did Jesus say? Jesus answered, neither this man or not his parents, nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So Jesus said, it's not his sin, not his parents' sin, not even the enemy, but the blindness was allowed, for that when it will be healed, God will get the glory and the gospel might be preached through this man. Because after this man was healed, this man went into the synagogue and the Pharisees started to question, because the news about this man, so many people knew that this man was born blind, he could not see from birth, they knew. But after that, this man started to see. They said, how did you get healed? And he said, a man came, made clay out of the mud and and put it on my eyes. And he told me, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And I washed it and I can see now that his testimony brought so many Jewish people to believe in Christ. So why did God kept him blind so that he could get healed at a specific season, at a specific time, that through his healing, many people will come to Christ? Do we understand that now? Some healings Amen. Are ordained by God for a specific time and season. Maybe you are not getting healed, but there will come a specific time and season that when that person gets healed at the right time and through his healing testimony, many people will come to Christ. Do we understand that now? So some of these things, infirmity, are kept by God. Are kept by God. And then for it to get healed and go away for when the time comes. And when the right time comes, that testimony will bring many people to Christ, will spark a revival, will lead to God's purposes getting fulfilled in that area. Let me give you another example about that. Acts chapter number 3. Let's go to Acts chapter number 3. Verse number 1. Another example. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried whom they laid daily. Underline daily. Whom they laid what? Daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So when you read Acts chapter number 4, verse number 22, it says, for the man was over 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing had been performed. So 40 years old man never got healed. Now, where he was sitting at the gate of the Beautiful temple, okay, the place that he was sitting at the gate of the Beautiful temple, he was sitting daily. He was sitting daily and he had been lame. He had been lame from his birth. 40 years he had been lame. And if you study the Gospels, you will see Jesus went through those gates multiple times. Multiple times you will see Jesus visited the temple. He went through the Beautiful gate. He went through those areas. And Jesus never paid attention to go ahead and heal this person because his time had not yet come. God had ordained his healing to happen at a time through which there would be a revival in Jerusalem and the church would grow in Jerusalem at that time. So Jesus, when he went through the temple, that is healing ministry. That is how the gifts of healing is ministered. You just don't, people say, why don't people go into the hospitals and minister healing to everyone? That does not function like that. The gift of healing is ministered by the speakings of God, by the utterance of the Spirit, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went through that place so many times, but he never healed that person because his time and his season to get healed was at this time, Acts chapter number 3. And God had ordained the apostles, Peter and John, that through them, that this person will get healed. Are we understanding this, people of God?
Yes.
Okay. Hallelujah. You have to understand these things when we come about healing. When we talk about healing, we have to understand such things. We have to understand that healing, there are healings that God has ordained to happen at a specific time, in a specific season, to bring glory to God and to spark the start to revival and God's purposes. Okay. Hallelujah. So you know the story, what happened there. He was asking alms from those who entered the temple. Verse number 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. So he was healed in the name of Jesus. So that is where the gift of healing was ministered. Okay. Now, even Jesus was gifted to heal. He had all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know that. But he never healed this person. He never healed that person because his time had not yet come. His time was now, that through his healing testimony, the church would grow. And all the people would know that though Jesus, they killed Jesus on the cross, but he is still working through his disciples. That was the reason of why his healing was held. And this was the time where his healing happened to glorify God. Okay, are we understanding? So I told you the first thing is God heals. The gift of healing is ministered to those infirmity and sicknesses that are caused by the torment of the enemy. Like the blood flow of the woman. She was in torment from so many years. Torment. She went to doctors, no answer. Jesus, she touched the hem of the garment and she got healed. That is another classification of healing. We'll come to that. But let me end here. So these are the areas to which the gifts of healing can be ministered. The next meeting, we will start off from the diseases, the sicknesses and infirmities where the gift of healing cannot be ministered. Okay? And when you understand that classification, you will understand why some people don't get healed. Why some people don't get healed? Because they don't fall under the category where the gifts of healing cannot be ministered to them. And then we will go into the classification on how the gifts of healing is ministered. There are four ways through which the gifts of healing is ministered to the people. Okay? And that is why Apostle Paul does not mention gift of healing. He mentions gifts of healings. So gifts of healings. That is what the church has to understand. That is what healing ministers have to understand. That when they minister healing, they have to they should not keep people in the darkness to let people into confusion, but they shall preach the word of God, the doctrine properly, and then they should minister healing. Let's pray now. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, tonight, even as I have just, Lord, in midway of the gifts of healings, but I am led by the Holy Spirit to pray for those people who are being oppressed by the devil, by a sickness, by an infirmity, or by a disease. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command those people to be healed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Ravala tokoya fezata varava. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father, Lord, those people whom the devil has kept, Lord, kept them visiting the hospitals, Lord. Kept them entangled in paying the hospital bills, Lord. Kept them on medicines, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father, I release healing in their bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, Rebaka Feratia Lefozatayaraba, Revalahal Ziantaraba. Lord, I pray that you will strengthen your people through the doctrine of your word, that they will be planted, Lord, rightly in the right soil, Lord, that is in the right foundation of the word of God, Lord, that they would not be confused, Lord. Many people faith falls from many people faith dwindle away from God as a healing God, because they have been told you will get healed, but they never got healed and they were confused. What is the meaning? What is the answer? And all those stuff, Lord. But I pray, Lord, let your word, Lord, clear every confusion, clear every faithlessness, Lord, in the lives of people, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Father, even as we move ahead, Lord, with this series, Lord, I pray that you will speak to us and you will equip your people, Lord, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I give you all the praise and honor and glory for this time, Lord. I cover all your people with the blood of Jesus Christ. Continue to Lead them and guide them in the word of your truth, Lord, and in the spirit, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.